This whole thing with looking at the scripture that says that God's thoughts are not our thoughts and our ways are not His ways and His thoughts are so much higher than ours. And, you know, even in situations that are tragic and in situations where we're praying for God to work a miracle and we're praying for God to move in a special way, we even can sometimes begin to rationalize and come up with reasons why God should move in the way that we think He should move. And most of the time, the reasons are very legitimate. They're good reasons, and we think, man, why can't God see that this is what needs to be done? I wonder if God's saying, why can't they see that I've got this, that I'm handling this, and just put your faith and trust in me, and let me handle this. And that's not always easy because, again, our thoughts are not His thoughts. In Daniel chapter number 6, very familiar scripture, very familiar event in God's Word, and one of my favorite stories, and I've probably preached out of it several times. But let's begin reading with verse number 1 tonight. The Bible says, "And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first." So we find that Daniel is in a very prominent position right here. He has found favor with King Darius. King Darius loves Daniel, and he has set him first. And continue reading verse number 2, "that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." You know, it makes sense to us when we know what we know about Daniel, that he has found favor and that God is blessing his life. Verse number 4, "then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel." Let me tell you something. When God is blessing your life and God is moving on your life, and maybe you're in a place that God is showing favor on your life, don't expect this world to be happy about that. Don't expect this world to go, you know what, that's just wonderful that God is blessing you so much and you're happy and you have joy, because the Bible teaches us, and even Jesus told his disciples, he says, don't think it's strange when this world comes against you, because now you're one of mine and you are of me. And if the world hated me, they're going to definitely hate you too if you're like me and you're one of mine. And actually, we should look at our lives, and if we absolutely just fit in everywhere that we go and this whole world loves us, we might not be letting enough of Jesus come through in our lives. But here Daniel, he has found favor in King Darius' sight, and man, it makes sense to us that he has, because we know how that Daniel feared God and how Daniel followed God. But then in verse number 4, we see that they find occasion against Daniel. He said the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find none, occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Let me just go ahead and encourage you not to try to find fault in me, because you can find it. Let me encourage you not to say, well, I want to see if I can find any fault. Look what it says, because there was no fault found or error found in him. Let me just say, I got errors and I got faults, so don't look for them, because if you want to look for them, you can find them. But here the Bible tells us that Daniel's found that favor and there's no fault in him. Verse number 5, "then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of our God." Now let me challenge you with something else. Now, these men were definitely worldly men. These were men that didn't like Daniel because of the God that he served, because of the way that he had found favor with King Darius and how he had been set over him. And man, they was trying to find something in Daniel's life, and they couldn't find it. And I've done told you that I have faults and I have failures in my life, and don't be seeking for those faults and failures in my life, because you'll definitely find them. But I want to challenge you with this, that we as Christians should live our lives in a way, out here in this lost and dying world, we should live our lives in a way that it is very hard for this world to find fault in us. I know if they want to study and they want to look and they want to watch every little thing that we do, I mean, I know they can find fault. But we should be striving, and we should be, look what they had to do. They said, "then these men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Would they even find fault with you following God? Now, I'm afraid sometimes that if they want to find fault with me, they can find it in a lot of different places, but would they find fault in me because of the way that I stood for God, for the way that I put God first in my life? Because that's the only way they can find fault with Daniel. Let me challenge you to live your life in a way. You know, people so many times, they want to boast about how they live their life, and I was telling someone just today that there was a lady one time that she spoke up in the middle of a group of people, and she said, "well, I'll just tell you one thing. At least you don't have to guess what I'm thinking. And she was being very boastful about, you know, saying her mind, speaking her mind all the time. And there was a gentleman there that just spoke up, and he said, well, let me just remind you that the Bible says a fool uttereth all his mind. So, you know, there's things that we can be boastful about. And when we're out here in this world, there's things that maybe there's something in your personality. And I said that to say this. There might be something in your personality that you have to learn to control in order for others to find Jesus in you, not fault. You know, you might have a really bad temper, and you might have to find a way to control your really bad temper in order for people not to be able to say, there's fault. And you say in one way, well, I don't care what people think, because I know my relationship with God. I know what my relationship is with God, too. And I know why God has left me here, to bring him glory and to point others to the cross of Christ. And I need to be as close to faultless. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about do's and don'ts and all that bull. Y'all know I'm not about that. But I'm talking about my life being in a way that I point others to Christ instead of others saying, there it is. I've told y'all before about me hitting my head there at work and taking a box of PVC fittings and slinging them across the warehouse and kicking them and stomping and snorting, acting like a two-year-old. I'm glad I was there by myself. Only me and God knowed it, so I only had to discuss it with God. But, you know, I could have just been as capable as doing that in front of people that I've been witnessing. Now, was that a sin? Not necessarily, because I didn't cuss or nothing else. Wasn't necessarily. But, you know, I showed that I had lost self-control of myself. There may be things in our lives that we have to learn to pinch down a little bit so that we're not finding fault with us, that people are not finding fault with us at all times. Verse number 6, I got to get going where I really want to go. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto them, King Darius, live forever, and the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So ain't it amazing how these guys began to be sneaky and work against Daniel? Tell you what, don't be surprised when people in this world are all of a sudden sneaky and working against you. Verse number 8, now, O king, established the decree and signed in writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, look, King Darius lost his mind for a moment. These guys come to him, lifting him up, and man just saying, now, king, nobody should ask anything of anybody but you, because you're the man. King, you're the man. And nobody should be asking anything of any god or anybody else but you. And King Darius is like, yeah, I am the man. Yeah, I'll sign this into law. And he forgot about Daniel. He forgot for a minute that the guy that had found so much favor in his sight. And he goes to signing this decree. Well, now all of a sudden, knowing that Daniel is a God-fearing man and that Daniel prays and that Daniel seeks God, now all of a sudden it's illegal for Daniel to pray to God. Now all of a sudden, it's against the king's law that he has signed. It's against this decree for him to pray and to ask God for anything. So what would we do today if all of a sudden it become against the law for us to stand for God? Would we even be guilty of a crime anyway? Or would we all just be going, well, I don't have to change anything. I can continue living just like I'm living, and I'm not going to break any laws. Or would we have to say, oh, man, now I've got to make a choice. See, it don't make sense, because if I was Daniel, I'd be saying, God, now you just wait a minute. I've put you first in my life. And God, I've worshipped you, and I pray to you, and you've put me in a place of favor. And God, that made sense to me. That was good, and that made sense to me, because I'm one of yours. But now, God, you've allowed the king to sign this decree. And you say, well, God didn't allow it. Yeah, sure, God allowed it. God didn't cause it, but God allowed it. Now, God, you've allowed this king to sign this decree, and now all of a sudden, I'm going to be found guilty for worshiping you. I'm going to be found guilty for praying to you. I'm going to be found guilty for talking to you. Now, God, why would you let that come into my life? That doesn't make sense. And you know, a lot of times in our life, we find ourselves in a place where we think that we're living for God, we're searching for God, we're seeking for God, we're really dependent on God, and then all of a sudden, a roadblock comes in the way, and because it's not going to be easy, or because we may have to make a choice that we don't want to make, all of a sudden now, God don't make sense. Now, God made sense when he was blessing us and he was giving us favor in the king's eyes and putting us in the place that we should supposed to be, or that we felt that we were supposed to be. Oh, God's good. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. And then when that roadblock comes up, I'm going to tell you right now that I would be the first to say, God, what are you doing? I mean, right now, you know, I love coming to church. I love getting up and preaching. I love talking to y'all about God and us worshiping God and telling others about Jesus. But now I want to tell you, next week, if they pass a law and say, hey, if you get up there and preach next Sunday, you're going to go to prison. We're going to have people sitting in every church across this country, and if you get up and preach, you're going to go to prison. Would I still be as happy to stand here and preach the Word of God? I'm not going to answer that. I'm not going to stand here and boast and say, oh, yes, I would be, because I don't want God to test me with that. But I want to be, we should be in a place where we'd say, yes, I still would stand there and say how good God is, and I'd still stand there and worship God and tell others about Jesus Christ. So let's see what Daniel did. Look, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went in his closet and he cried and he said, God, you're not fair, and I'm not going to worship you no more. I'm not going to serve you no more. No. It says, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if I had been in Daniel's case, in Daniel's situation, I might have went home and prayed, but I went at home and I would have put down all the windows, and I went in my closet, and I'd say, God, you said entering in my prayer closet. I'm in my prayer closet. God, I mean, you need to have some real intimate time together with nobody else around. It's just me and you, God, and that's all it needs to know. Lord, I'm going to commit to you for 30 days. Me and you are the only ones going to know I'm going to pray. But that's not what God wanted from Daniel, and Daniel knew that he needed to continue doing just like he'd always done. And the Bible tells us that Daniel went home, and his windows being open, he got on his knees, and he prayed three times a day and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. You notice, he didn't have to change anything so that everybody would know that he was super spiritual. He didn't have to go home and say, well, I'm going to go home and throw up my windows, and I'm going to go out here and make a big show and let everybody know that I still love God. No, he was doing what he always did. You know, I think that was the key to the rest of the story that's coming along right here in just a minute. Verse number 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that ask a petition of God, of any god or any man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Notice it's not a lion's den. It's not one lion. It's a den of lions. And these lions were kept hungry for this purpose. The king answered and said, excuse me, this thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of captivity of Judah. Now look at that. He was supposed to be there as a slave, and God had given him that kind of favor. That Daniel, the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. I want you to notice something. That after that King Darius realized that he had signed a decree that was going to bring harm to Daniel, it broke his heart. He loved Daniel. And he realized that he had done something wrong. And the Bible tells us that he labored to see how he could deliver. And you know what? There's been times when you've been in situations when it felt like God wasn't fair. And you've been around other people and you look at their lives and you say, God's not making sense right now. And you do everything that you can do to change it, and there's nothing else that you can do. I mean, I've been around people that I've seen them heartbroken and troubled. I've seen people that it doesn't make sense why God's allowing this to happen in their life, and you try to be there for them, and you pray for them, and you're doing everything that you know possible to do. Just like King Darius here, and King Darius, the Bible tells us that he labored to see how he could deliver Daniel. And there was nothing he could do. He had done signed this in the law. And there was absolutely nothing he could do. And that's a hopeless feeling, ain't it? I mean, when you've tried to do everything that you could for somebody, and you wanted to be there for them, and you've done everything that you can do, and there's still no making sense of what God has done. Well, God didn't do this. King Darius did, but God allowed it. Verse number 15, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. There's always somebody there reminding you. Then, verse number 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You know what, that sounds like something that we say to people a whole lot of times, ain't it? When they're in the middle of a place where God's not making sense. Don't worry, God's got this. But you know what? Not all the time when somebody is in the middle of a storm in their life, when God's not making sense, they're not ready to receive that. They're not ready to hear that. We want them to be, and I know we're trying to comfort their heart and we're trying to be there for them, but they're not ready to receive that. Now, I believe that Daniel was here, but you know, when God don't make sense, you notice here with Daniel, Daniel could have run, Daniel could have went somewhere else, Daniel could have done a lot of different things. The Bible could have showed us that Daniel had been just crying and begging God, and you know, we know that our God is able to do absolutely anything. Can God work miracles in all these situations that we're praying about right now? Absolutely, He sure can. Could God bring back your loved one that has already passed? Absolutely, He sure could. Right now, He sure could. Could God? Yes, God could do absolutely anything. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to us why He doesn't do what we think He should do. And we know that God could have killed the lions that was in the den of lions. God could have killed the men that was tricking Darius into signing this. God could have gave Darius the wisdom to go, I'm not signing that. But you know, we're still reading about Daniel chapter number 6 today because God allowed what God allowed right here. If God hadn't went the direction that He did, we might not even have Daniel chapter number 6 that we can get excited about. Verse number 17, at the end of verse number 17, Darius says, "Thou God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel." You know what? The king went down there and he said, "All right, boys, y'all roll this stone right here. And I'm going to put my signet on. It's sealed. Nobody can open it. Nobody can do anything in here. We got to be sure that what is supposed to happen to Daniel is going to happen to Daniel." He said, we got to be sure. Look what he said. "That the purpose might not be changed." But I want to tell you something. Even when God don't make sense in your life and you don't know what God's doing and you can't understand and it doesn't seem right what God's doing, I don't care who on this earth says that can't be changed. I want you to know that God's always in control. God always can go above and beyond everything that's going on in your life. God's always got a greater purpose than what we can see on our side. The king said, "I'm going to seal this that this might not be changed." But I'm going to read to you here in just a minute. This got changed right here in just a minute. We got to keep going. Verse number 18. "Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions." I don't think that anybody heard Daniel out there crying that night. I don't think that anybody heard him out there just praying and saying, "God, why have you allowed this happen to me? God, this don't make sense. I'm a follower of you. I was in a great place, and God, it don't make sense why you've allowed me in this den of lions, because I was praying and seeking you." But I think that Daniel slept just fine that night. Verse number 20, "And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice." In other words, he was sad, and he cried unto Daniel, maybe almost in tears. And the king spake and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" You want to know something? When God don't make sense in our life, when we're going through something and we're saying, "God, I don't know what you're doing," do you want to know that there's other people around us that is watching us to see if this God we're always bragging on, if He's able to deliver us through what we're going through? They're watching to see how our faith holds up. They're watching to see how our strength holds up. They're waiting to see if you really believe everything that you've told them that you believe about this God. How He loves us and how He cares for us, and man, how He's the most awesome thing that we've ever met. And man, we boast about that while things are going good. But when God don't make sense in our life, they're just like King Darius here. King Darius said, "Hey Daniel, is your God able?" Because a few verses earlier he said, "God's going to deliver you." And now he's saying, "But Daniel, is He able to deliver you? Did He do it?" And verse number 21, "Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have no hurt for me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt? I'm glad that the king wasn't in charge of Daniel's fate, that the king wasn't in charge of him being killed that night, that the people that was against him wasn't in charge of what happened to him that night. But I want to tell you something, that there was a God that was looking down at Daniel, that loved Daniel, that said, Daniel, I know that you've trusted in me. Daniel, I really believe that maybe in God's mind he was saying, I'm sorry that you're going to have to go through this, but I'm fixing to use you for something, brother. I'm fixing to show you some people something, because I want them to know that this God that you're bragging on, that this God that you're always telling them about, that he is well able to deliver you from this harm that you're getting ready to come your way, that he's well able to bring you through this. And I believe 100% in my mind and in my heart, and we know that King Darius even made another decree after this that changed a lot of people. But I want to tell you something, that there were some people's lives changed because God didn't make sense in Daniel's life. There was a lot of people that all of a sudden in their mind, they had to say, you wait just a minute. This God that Daniel's praying to, this God that Daniel's serving, he's bound to be real, because we know what them lions are for. Them lions are killers. Them lions should have ate him up in just a few minutes. And I believe they went down there and they seen Daniel just all curled up on one of them, just maybe using it for a pillow, maybe petting it like an old kitty cat. And I want to tell you that our God is able to take things that look like that, look like certain death in our life, and he is able to use that to get glory out of our lives if we'll just say, God, I trust you. I'm right here. I'm not changing, God. You're steadfast, and I'm going to be steadfast with you. Man, that's what God wants from us. So Daniel was taken. Look at verse number 23. At the end of verse number 22, O king, have I done no hurt? You know, that almost says, it sounds like this. King, don't worry. I haven't hurt your lines. They're still down here. Oh, king, live forever. Don't worry. I ain't hurt your lines. I know it means don't worry, I'm okay. But, oh, king, don't worry. Your lines are okay. But you know what? So my God has delivered me. Verse number 23. Then the king was exceedingly glad for him. Look how it changed the king and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. How much do we believe in our God when God don't make sense? That's what this whole thing is about, because if you haven't already been there, sometime in your Christian life, there's going to be something that doesn't make sense to you. Whether it be in your life or your family's life or your neighbor's life, there's going to be something that comes along and you say, well, if God really is real, why did that happen? If God really does love us like he says that he loves us, why did that happen? And man, a lot of that can be explained by our choices and that sin is in this world. A lot of it can be explained in that. But still, to us, we try to make sense out of it, Shane. We try to say, well, I can't believe that this is happening because God is so good. But I want you to know that even when God don't make sense, he may be working in ways so much bigger than you. Daniel could have went in there kicking and a screaming and a crying and said, oh God, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And everybody around there would have seen it, and it might have changed their mind about the outcome of this story. But when they went in there and said, hey, Daniel, are you okay? And Daniel says, I'm okay. And guess what? The lions are too. I ain't hurt the lions. They still down here. But I'm alive because God has delivered me from what I went through because he believed in his God. You know, it's easier for us when life is good. When the bills are paid and the finances are okay, it's easy for us to say, man, I trust in God. When we're in a place where everybody in our house is healthy, nobody's sick, no death has come our way, it's easy to say, I believe and I trust in God. But what about maybe not a literal, but maybe we're facing a den of lions? What about when things are about to fall apart in our lives? Can people still look at us and say, they're going to be okay because they believe in their God? Because their God's got this. I'm about done. Verse number 24, and the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, the lions had the mastery of them. Those lions were still very alive and very hungry. And break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. In verse 25 through verse 28, Darius changes his old outlook, changes his whole decree. But now I want us to look at an alternate ending to this story. I'm not changing God's word. I'm not adding to God's word. But let's just go through this just for one quick second, because sometimes God don't make sense. This could have went a completely different way. God got glory out of what he did. But I want us to also understand tonight that if King Darius had went out there the next morning And if he would have said, Daniel, is your God able to deliver you from the lions? And Daniel had not been there. If the lions had had mastery over him and crushed him and ate him, and there was no, and we know that didn't happen. But can I tell you that that does not mean that God was not able to deliver him? See, the only thing that we know is this world, this earth. What we've been able to see with our physical eyes, the tangible things that we have in our life, that's what we know. And we hold it precious because it is. And when we see loved ones hurting or we lose loved ones, man, it hurts so bad because the Bible tells us that it can't even enter into our minds what he has in store for us. But as we look tonight and as you look in our lives, sometimes we say, well, in the Bible days, God was such an awesome God. But see, that God is still an awesome God tonight. That God is still the same God. He says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, that he don't change. That is the same God that we're serving tonight. And you want to know something? That if they'd went out there and Daniel had been eaten by the lions, and Daniel was no longer there, you know that my Bible teaches me to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you want to know that my Bible teaches me that even though that we're joyful and we clap and we sing and we have such a big time when these brand new babies come into this world, that my Bible teaches me that we should weep when those babies come into this world. And when a saint of God leaves here, that's when we should party down. That's when we should have a good time. Because they're no longer here with the struggles and the trials and everything else. I want to tell you something, that just because it don't come out sometimes like we think it should, and even at the end of the situation when we say, God, that don't make sense, I want to tell you tonight that if that person has trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it makes all the sense in the world. God's just saying, look, you've had enough. Come on, be with me. Let's get on with the rest of glory, and let's have a good time. Sometimes it may not even make sense at the end of a situation. God may not do the miracle that we have asked him to do. God may not do what we think that he should, and it don't make sense why God didn't do it. But I want to tell you something. My Bible says, for all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen. And if we believe in that and we trust in that, hey, I'm not going to tell you that if something happens to me tomorrow, that you won't have to console my wife, that you won't have to help my children through it. Man, it's going to be heartbreaking. Man, it would be terrible. Some of you've been through situations like that it would be awful. But somewhere, somebody encouraged my wife and my family to know that whatever happened to me may have been bad for the moment, but I'm finally where I've been trying to get all along. Amen. I didn't know it and didn't understand it so much when I was 7 years old. But since the time I become one of God's children at the age of 7, my address changed. Hey, just a few months ago, we changed from Cana, Virginia to Pilot Mountain. We got a lot smarter when we did that. I don't know how that happened. But my address changed here on this earth, and now I live in a new house. But I'm going to tell you, one of these days, my address is going to change from whatever it is to glory. And I'm going to have a glorified body. And I'm finally going to be where God wants me to be. So sometimes, even when God don't make sense in the end of a situation, there's a verse of scripture that says, look, to live as Christ. If God leaves me here, man, that is Christ working in me and me pointing everybody I can to Christ. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. So many times we look and we say, well, that don't make sense why God allowed that to happen. But we're not seeing the whole picture. We're seeing everything from this side. You know, you ever been in a counseling situation? And I don't counsel, just in case you're wondering. I'll listen all I possibly can, but I have enough hard time keeping my marriage in good shape. I sure don't need to help you destroy yours. But if you're ever in a counseling situation and you talk to the husband about one thing, he's going to tell you how crazy and wacky his wife is. And if you talk to the wife, she's going to tell you how self-centered and sorry and everything else. There's always two sides of the story, right? Okay, well, as a story of our life, we're only seeing one side of it. But one of these days, we're going to get the full picture, brother. And when we finally stand in the presence of God, there's nothing on this earth, no bad thing on this earth, that's going to even compare to the glory that we're going to experience there. Man, I'm thankful for the examples that God has given us about when he don't make sense and how he come through. But I want to tell you something, that even sometimes when God don't make sense and it don't seem like God come through, God come through. He will always come through. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. God, I want to thank you for this great event in your word that you gave us, God, at how even though sometimes it looks like we go from being successful to maybe it almost looks like we're being punished, God, and it don't make sense to us. But God, we always know that you're in control and that you're working. And God, you may just be using us for your glory. And God, when I was 7 years old and I asked you to come into my life, I gave you my life to do with it as you will. Sometimes I don't like your will for my life. Sometimes it don't make sense. But God, I pray that you'll help me to always to trust you, to lean on you, and God, just to continually surrender my whole life unto you. God, I pray for the ones in our church, God, that are in a place tonight where maybe you're not making sense to them. And God, I pray that you'll work in their life, and I pray that you'll comfort them. And God, I pray that you'll begin to prepare their heart, God, just to receive whatever you have for them, God, and to help them to always to trust in you. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen.